What's up, everybody? Anthony Vasquez here, and super excited to bring to you today our inaugural edition of the Anthony Vasquez Wedding Workshop and Podcast. Today, I'm joined by none other than Samantha Agostino. We'll be discussing all things involving her beauty and makeup business, her aspirations, her dreams for the next 5 years, and most importantly, balancing being a mother and an entrepreneur. Sam, why don't you introduce yourself, tell everybody who you are, and let's get into it.
You just did a good job. Samantha Agostino, makeup artist, mom, partner, specializing in bridal fashion for print, runway, and real brides.
Cool. So if you could, I know there's been a long road for you to get to where you are right now in the current state of your business, and I'm all about the process, and I think people always talk about, they only see the finished diamond, they don't see the whole process of where it took to get to where you are today. And I think about 5 years ago is where you really went in deep. Knowing you personally, I can attest to this in terms of dedicating yourself to building a wedding luxury brand, right? And I think one thing that stands out is you never just wanted to be a wedding makeup artist. You wanted to develop something on the higher end, something really luxurious, something really personalized to your bride's service. So if you could give us where it started and where it is now.
No, I'd like to know what your perspective is of where I am now.
You want my perspective?
Yeah.
So I think right now, I think it's, isn't it supposed to be the way around where I interview you? Not the-
Well, you have an audience, so let them know. So
I think, you know, I think you've done a great job of cultivating a high-end luxury style wedding market. I think you've obviously been faced with roadblocks, which we can talk about here, which is balancing work life, raising two children. And I think, you know, that's something that I personally admire because where I'm able to focus 100% of my energy and dedication and time to my business without having to worry about some of those other things, you don't necessarily have that luxury. So I think, you know, in speaking, you can really attest to the struggle that mothers go through in building and being an entrepreneur, because it's not just go home, check emails for 2 hours. It's go home, cook, take two kids to gymnastics, play softball. I see you taking a deep breath right now because you're thinking about all this. And then go home and check emails at 10 o'clock at night and make sure you get back to all your clients. So I think you've been faced with the dilemma and the challenge of balancing those two things. I think from a business standpoint, if there weren't children in the picture, it would be a lot easier, obviously, because then you could dedicate 100% of your time. And I think ultimately that transitions where your business would be today. But I think given all the challenges you have, your business couldn't be in a better place, especially when you consider what you're faced with on a daily basis.
Well, thank you. It's definitely not easy. I don't think that the word balance
exists
at all. It's just, I think if you have any moms listening to your podcast right now, then they just know it's just something that we just do. We just get up and go, and things just happen to fall into place. But 5 years ago, starting to, I guess, shift what I was doing and kind of know where I wanted to bring my business, that's where it all began 5 years ago. So.
And prior to that?
Well, prior to that, I was a working makeup artist, but...
Not specifically in the wedding field.
I didn't have a niche market. I wasn't really focused. I was just basically taking jobs as they came, kind of like a lot of other beauty professionals that are in the industry. You just take whatever comes to you.
So what made the shift of you deciding to really focus and double down on what your passion was, which was wedding and fashion makeup, and transition out of maybe having what would have been a job that checked the box of, hey, I need to make money, but now I'm going to take that chance, jump in blindly in essence, and follow my pursuit and fully go for the entrepreneurial aspect of this.
Well, I always wanted to do it, but I was, I guess, more conscious of the fact that I did have other responsibilities. And so I guess it was fear that kind of stood in my way. And then I met you. And it was inspirational just to see that what is possible and what you can do. And so I just decided to... Follow in your footsteps, I guess.
So what do you think? I don't know if that was good or bad, but what do you think the biggest hurdle you're faced with on a daily basis in running your business?
The biggest is deciding if I'm going to stack my team and grow in a direction I'm not necessarily sure that I want to grow in.
So you're talking about, in essence, leveraging your name now.
Yeah, because the yes, there's only one me, yeah, and there are multiple inquiries coming in for multiple dates.
Sure.
And so that's the road, that's the fork in the road where I'm at right now. Sure. Is what do I want to do? Do I want to extend my brand that way, or do I just want to keep my small niche and just keep it me? And that way I can really just make sure that the representation of Samantha Agostino makeup and what I've built it to be, the integrity of that business just stays consistent.
And then, you know, there's also to take on that responsibility of now not just managing your own self, but being responsible for all those other people who you're sending out underneath your brand.
Right. It makes me nervous. I understand that there's two ways you could either go. You either have to, like I said, stack my team and grow in that direction, or then it just becomes leveling up more of what I offer to my clients and then just raising that bar even higher. So that's probably where I'm leaning towards, because I'm a control freak.
I didn't know that about you.
No, not at all.
So in speaking to the mothers that are listening to this right now, right, from a business standpoint, I could see how that would be the biggest hurdle. But from a mom / entrepreneurial standpoint, what's the biggest hurdle you face on a daily basis?
The biggest hurdle as a mother / entrepreneur, mm-hmm, is splitting my time equally between business and family, or feeling that I'm giving enough time and enough of myself to my family and not to the business. Mm-hmm. But it's a vicious cycle, because if you don't give your time to the business, you don't feed your family. So if you don't feed your family, then where are you? So it's just, it's a tug of war every day.
So for moms out there right now who maybe aren't in your situation, maybe they're still stay-at-home moms, or they're working the comfort of a 9-to-5, but they have a passion, let's say it, whatever it may be, makeup, hair, doesn't even have to be beauty-centric. What would you give them as one piece of advice with some of the struggles that they're going to face and how to deal with those struggles?
I'm still trying to figure that out.
Fair answer.
I think that it's important to follow your dream and actually do something that you're passionate about, because that just attributes to your quality of life. If you're not happy doing something, it shows up in every other aspect of your life. So that's number one. I think that being a fulfilled person should be the first and foremost most important thing, especially because you're raising children and setting an example of what you want them to aspire to. So for me, having two young ladies at home and following my dream and showing them that it's possible to do it while you're raising a family, it's not easy, but I'm doing it. I don't know. I think that makes them proud. And for me, it's important because it'll teach them to just never stop and to keep going after whatever it is that you truly want.
So I'll segue just a tad bit for off the mom subject and onto patience. So one thing I've always noticed about you, I think I gave you a Gary Vee t-shirt, so it says something about patience. But so when you started in on this journey, I think, not you specifically, but I think a lot of entrepreneurs have a misguided vision in terms of the length of time it's going to take to establish a brand and a name, even in today's day and age with social media where you can expedite that, but there still is a journey, a road you have to go down in order to do that. And you know, from knowing you personally, I know you wanted that road to be cut shorter and expedited. You'd always be like, why isn't it growing faster? Why isn't it growing faster? And now looking back, having known you 5 years, I think it grew really fast when you look back on that time clip. And while you're in it, sometimes you don't have the perspective to step outside of it and look back down and say, oh shit, this thing really did blossom very fast considering. And then when you consider your time constraints and the fact that you weren't able to dedicate yourself to this 24/7, and I look back on my schedule where I was able to dedicate myself 24/7 to my business, it's kind of something I admire that you were able to build this in such a short period of time. So for people right now who are listening, who are struggling with the fact that they may only be a year in and they think they should be substantially further along, what advice would you give them? And let's preface that by saying, people today have that lack of patience, in my opinion, because of Instagram. They're looking at other people and they're not seeing all the shit they had to eat to get to where they are. They're just seeing where they are right now. And they're not looking back on the 15 years it took them to get there.
If what they're even looking at is real. No. So that's, I think that's one thing I had to teach myself not to do is to compare myself to other people that I see on social media, because it may look like they're doing certain things when in reality they're really not. And it took an outside set of eyes to kind of put it in perspective for me about, I don't necessarily see the accomplishments and the things that I'm actually doing because I'm in the trenches. Sure. And I'm doing it.
So like, we'll talk like featured in Vogue this year, multiple runway shows, some really high end weddings, diving into fashion. I'll blow you up for yourself, right? Diving into fashion.
I'm not going to do that.
You know, launching a new website, continuing to build your brand, leveling up and learning how to do hair so you could offer two services to the same bride, which I know is a big thing. You know, those are the kind of things I see happening right now in your current landscape, right? So, but it took a lot of work to get there, right? So that's what I want to get at is people just see that right now that you're posting stuff, hey, I did Vogue. But there's so much that went into that.
For me, it was just kind of strategically planning, but at the same time, just taking a lot of shit and throwing it against the wall and whatever sticks, you know?
Mm-hmm. I like to say eating shit, but yeah, you know, like it's...
you eat shit, I'll throw it. I just know where I wanted to go and what I wanted to do. And I think that when you have a clear idea of the end result that you want, creating a path to that is a little easier. It does take time. And not everything is going to work, but you just have to keep going. I mean, I got a lot of no's. You remember when I kind of restructured my entire business and was, you know, pitching to prospective clients, and I was just like,
no, after no,
everybody's
after no.
telling yep. me no, yep. but then the few yeses, you just have to go in there and smash it and show them why they said yes. And I think that was for me like the fuel. And then I realized that for me and my business, it's going to be quality over quantity.
So on a more personal level, right, for people who are in the wedding and event industry, I think by and large, from everyone I speak to, whereas publicly they may show a certain image, privately they do struggle in their interpersonal day-to-day relationships. Because balancing event business, I think, is different than balancing any other business in the sense of we work weekdays to build our business and actually maintain and grow and run the day-to-day operations. But then we also work weekends. So comparatively to people who just go and punch a card 9 to 5 and then can subjectively take work home and decide to do things, for us, it's not necessarily as easy as that. And then having two people in the event business, I think, is even more challenging, right? So some advice to people on how to achieve that balance, right? So if you're working weekends, where do you fit that in?
I think that the number one piece of advice would be you need to be supportive of each other and understanding of the schedules. And being able to carve out time, just like I have to carve out time for the kids. I guess I need to carve out time for you.
So, yeah, I mean, I think for me, coming from that experience as well, I think, you know, the key to that is you really need to cherish and make, you know, whatever day of the week, it's going to be Friday or Monday, your Sunday. Because what happens is you're working Saturdays and Sundays when most people are doing other things. So you miss out on a lot of life and life passes you by and you're not able to be there for those things. So I think, you know, for my advice to people would be treat Monday like your Sunday, you know, whatever day, or Wednesday like your Sunday, where that's your family day. Because if not, you wind up with the week going by and then you're gone every weekend. All right. So let's make believe. I'm a 19-year-old. I want to get into the beauty and fashion industry. And I've decided I enjoy weddings. What do you think the best path for me to pursue is? By the way, I'm foregoing college. Foregoing college. I'm 19 years old. I'm in the world. I want to do bridal fashion, bridal makeup. What's my path to that?
So this goes beyond just the wedding industry, but for any aspiring beauty artist who wants to get into the industry, I think the first thing to do is your research and find out who it is, whose work you admire, where you would like to see your work, and start doing your research on who those photographers are and who those artists are who are actually being featured. And then from that point, practice on any face that is willing to do it. Let you paint on them, do your hair.
I think that's the beauty of your craft. Unlike us, where we have to set up photo shoots, you can literally, if you're a young artist, just ask all your friends to do their makeup on a Saturday night and have 10 heads under your belt by Sunday and just continuing practicing that craft.
But not all the time. I mean, not everybody wants that, or everybody has a different aesthetic. I mean, so what I think is beautiful, my friends might not. So they might not necessarily want me to paint their face. But
I mean, I would think too, you know, being a young artist for me, I would immediately.
I love that you just called yourself an artist, because I've been telling you that for 20 years, and you say that you're not, that you're a businessman. So thank you for that.
I'm a businessman who takes pictures. So if I'm a young artist, I think, you know, I would initially, from my own perspective now, being almost a 40-year-old man who's been in this field for 20 years, I would personally go get a job at the desk of Sephora, or, you know, let's say Chanel or Bobby Brown, where I'm being able to practice the craft and be involved in the makeup field. And maybe that's not the long-term goal, is to work for one of those companies. Mm-hmm. But if I'm in the store and I'm applying makeup on a daily basis, that's invaluable practice that you're even going to be paid for.
Agree to an extent. It takes a certain person, because those positions are all based on selling a product. So I definitely think that, you know, that's a great start for somebody if they are into, you know, sales and having to meet certain kind of quotas. But for most artists who don't really want to do that and just, you know, want to do a freelance type of business, the best way is to just, you know, see if you can assist a makeup artist who's already working.
See, but wouldn't those skills be invaluable? Being pushed out of your comfort zone, really learning how to speak to people.
I have never worked at a counter.
Okay.
So I don't know.
Okay.
You know, I mean, everybody is different, but I didn't start at a counter. I'm a licensed esthetician. I mean, I bartended for years when I was a kid, so maybe that helps with my interaction with people and socialization, but, you know, I never had to.
You can bartend, you can deal with people in the wedding industry, in my opinion.
But I've always made it a point to not take a job that I had to sell, you know, and it's funny because I'm solely in the business of selling my own business, mm-hmm. but I feel like it's more of an organic fit, and that's the type of conversation that I have with people who inquire to retain my services, is kind of like, if I'm not your artist, I totally get it. You have to love what I do, and we have to be on the same page. Otherwise, you know, you should probably look for someone else who is a better fit, and vice versa. Mm-hmm. So like a counter isn't a good fit for me, because I don't want the pressure of having to put 6 different products on a person's face because I have to, mm-hmm. if they don't need it, you know?
So where do you see your business 5 years from now?
Well, 5 years from now, hopefully it'll be a lot more bridal fashion. It's truly where my passion is. Like
the
fact that I
50-50 split.
I would love to see more of like a 60-40.
Okay.
You know, I love weddings. It's funny that, like, I just love the whole idea of love and that, like, that whole day. And I love playing a huge part of a bride's day. But I also love the fashion end of it, in bridal fashion. Like, I've always wanted to be in the fashion industry in some form. So I think I found my happy place, you know, like leading the shows this year and having my company being sought after to actually be the beauty behind them,
mm-hmm.
is huge. And then seeing like your work coming down the runway, and it's just gratifying for me. That's where, and the fast pace of backstage, and I just love that.
And the fact it's not on weekends.
It is a bonus.
So 5 years, 60-40 split, lead makeup artist, bridal fashion, and high-end weddings.
Like even higher, like uber high.
Uber high. What's uber high look like for you?
I don't know. I have to figure that out.
Okay.
Crunching numbers.
If you could look back on your life 15 years ago, say pre-children 15 years ago, what would be advice you'd give to your adult self now? One mistake you made. And if you could go back and change.
So I've always been in the fashion industry, I guess. If mm-hmm. you think about it, about a little over 15 years ago, I was with Echo Unlimited. Mm-hmm. And I was invited to run the tent at Magic.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of gave up my entire career for.
For those of people who don't know what Magic is, it's one of the largest fashion shows.
It's like a big fashion event that happens in Vegas. And like everybody in the industry is there. I was making all the right contacts back then, and I gave it all up for a relationship that didn't work out. So my number one regret would be that.
Okay.
However, good things came from that relationship.
Two children,
my two daughters,
of course. Yep.
And everything. So,
But
looking back, to me, that was like, somebody.
Pivotal.
It was somebody who wasn't supportive in my dreams and what I wanted to do, and that all should have been a red flag. So.
Okay. So advice to women out there and the mothers out there, make sure you find a partner who's supportive.
Support is the number one. Absolutely.
Of your business
dreams. What's the point of having a partner if they're not going to help you achieve your goals and uplift you when you do achieve them? And that they need to be your biggest cheerleader, right?
I agree. One thing you could tell yourself, one piece of advice you could give yourself from 15 years ago to today.
Always go with your gut.
So in moments.
That speaks to so many different instances.
It does. It does. So you would say always go with your gut.
Always go with your gut.
It's speaking to you for a reason.
Yeah. Like your gut talks, then your head speaks, and then your heart speaks, and then your gut speaks again. Don't ignore your gut.
Some lifestyle things. So I know health and fitness is really important for you, and having a balanced diet, nutrition, workout regimen, truly important for you. Can you speak to that as an entrepreneur and how finding that balance of fitness within your business has been really key?
Well, for me, fitness is just my therapy. Mm-hmm. It just creates mental clarity. It also gives me enough energy to plow through the day. I'm not just working on my business, but you know, then the children and everything else, staying up late, answering emails. And so it's about energy. Mm-hmm. And I'm in the business of beauty. And it goes beyond the exterior. When you feel good, you look good, and vice versa. So just being able to exercise and feel healthy makes you feel better about yourself. You walk in a different way.
So let's talk about for the women out there who want to look better, feel better. Can you give us some beauty tips?
Oh my gosh. You have to like who you are. That is the number one beauty tip. You need to laugh. Life without laughter is just not good for you.
What about from a health perspective, you know, for brides that are listening or for people who just want better feeling and looking skin?
The key to great skin and looking great on your wedding day is drinking plenty of water and getting plenty of rest.
So staying hydrated.
Totally staying hydrated. Don't start any new regimens prior to your wedding day. You know, like give it at least, if you're going to do something to your face, it should be start 6 months prior to the wedding to make sure that there's no, you know, adverse reactions. And then in 6 months time, you'll see.
And what about for people listening in the business field that want to know, hey, I just want to look a little better on a day-to-day basis for when I go to work?
Exercise, get plenty of sleep, and laugh, be happy. Happiness shows up on people's faces, I believe, right? Don't you guys agree?
I think another important thing is, while you bring that up, is actually loving what you do for work. I think that solves a lot of those equations.
Well, I'm fortunate enough to be one of those people who does love what they do. So for me, being able to show up and be happy on a daily basis just comes naturally. But yeah, if you have to like think about getting out of bed and going to your workplace and it brings you down, then you need to change something about your life. It's just too short.
So you mentioned before, 5 years from now, 60-40 split. What are the actionable steps you're going to take from today to make those goals a reality 5 years from now?
Well, they're already in the process. They're still cultivating different relationships with more PR houses and the designers, really doing my research and seeing who the designers are that I really want to work with, and then kind of navigating my way, which even at my stage of the game involves working for free sometimes. And I think that that's something a lot of people
need to eat some humble pie and suck it up.
Well, yeah. I mean, working for trade isn't a bad deal, you know, especially for a makeup artist. You can give your time and your talent, and in return, you get photos, which then can go in your portfolio or sure, give you content so people can actually see you out there on social media.
I totally believe in working for free. I just feel that there needs to be the premise of the relationship is mutually respect. So sometimes when you work for free, people take that as a sign of weakness or take advantage of the situation. So I think it just needs to be that both parties walk away winning from that perspective.
Well, I think that knowing who you want to work with and do those things for are key then. So for me, the Vogue spread that I just had in Vogue Australia, that was a work for trade. And it was a relationship that I've been cultivating through Bridal Market and, you know, working on lookbooks. And it's like this, it is a mutual agreement between the two of us, and it's mutually beneficial for the designer to have, she loves my work, thank goodness, you know, I love her work, and we kind of agree to collaborate and, you know, create this beautiful product where in turn we're both going to reap the benefits of it.
Sure. So I think that's the key though, is making sure it's a mutually beneficial relationship when you walk into
You have to be smart about it.
Yeah. instead of having somebody who's just going to take advantage of the fact that you're willing to work for free. Well, I want to just thank you for coming. I want to be respectful of your time because I know you have clients to deal with today. And I want to thank you for being my first guest. And if it wasn't for you, I wouldn't have done this because you've been telling me to do this for a couple of years.
Oh my God, you said that out loud.
I said that out loud on film too. So it's going to come back to haunt me. But so if it wasn't for you, I never would have made this transition into doing this. So I want to thank you. And I want to commend
you. Why did you make this transition? Why did you finally decide?
So I think for me, you know, I think having a secondary outlet, you know, as passionate as I am about photography and weddings, I'm equally, if not more, passionate about the pursuit of excellence in business. And for me, it's always been, you know, even from when I was a little kid, the entrepreneurial spirit, whether I was selling baseball cards or figuring out ways to paint houses for extra money when I needed a car or getting my first job at a wedding photography studio. Business has always been a constant passion of mine. So doing this is really fulfilled that outlet and something, you know, I feel like now at least, almost turning 40, having had my own company for 20 years, I come from a place where I have something to share of value. I think that, you know, for me, sharing my knowledge and my passion for business is something I've always wanted to do.
So if you can go back 15 years ago in your life,
sure.
Right? What's the number one thing you would have done differently?
Number one thing would have been to embrace the turbulence of growing a business and not getting caught up in that anxiety loop of worrying about failing or thinking that something that negatively impacts your business is going to be the end of your business, because in all actuality, it's not. I think there's a great saying, smooth seas never created a master sailor, you know, something to that effect. And during those times were the biggest potentials for growth. So looking back on those, I would have embraced them more than tried to resist them.
And so then moving forward in the next 5 years, where do you see Anthony Vasquez Photography?
I mean, I see us expanding upon where we're at now. You know, I want to take my brand up a level. I think there's a difference between high-end and luxury. So I'd like to transition more into that really exclusive luxury market. And that means, you know, maybe some travel abroad, if so be it. But really refining, which is my word for the year, refining our brand and taking our brand to an even higher level than what it is now. I think secondarily, the podcast and show is something I've been really passionate about, and I want to see that take on a life of its own. You know, it's something that's really important to me. It's given me a deeper purpose, and it's something I'm really enjoying doing. So I think the growth of that would be equal to the elevation of our brand. Any other questions?
And if you had to give advice to anybody in the wedding industry stepping into a family like you stepped into ours, what would that be, and how to create that work-life balance?
Well, something I can look back on and now comment on. You know, I think being such a driven person and so entrepreneurially focused, you can have blinders on life. And I think it's all too easy to just give 100% at work, and then you don't realize that life, or in my case, family life, can pass you by at certain moments. Embracing those moments and really just shutting off work. Work will always be there. Family might not necessarily, and those moments won't be there, but work will always be there. So I think that would be the most important for any man who is an entrepreneur, because I think as men, we can really easily escape family and life, and as a crutch, just use work as the excuse.
You guys have that?
Any other questions, Sam?
No, that's it.
Sure.
Well, I'll think of some more, but you'll be my first guest.
Are we done with my interview now? We're good?
We're good.
All right. So I want to thank you for coming on the show. I want to thank you for all you do. I want to thank you for motivating me to do this. And most importantly, I want to commend you on your success, not just as an entrepreneur, but as a mother and balancing them, both of those things. So thank you for taking the time to do this with me today. I want to blast you out on social, tell everyone where they can find you for clients who want to hire you. Where can they come see you? Where can they find you on all the different platforms, please?
Instagram is @SamanthaAgostinoMakeup. Same with Facebook, and I don't tweet or any of that other stuff.
Okay. So platform-wise, Instagram is where you're going to be the
Instagram most? Instagram is the best and easiest way to kind of contact me. If you're interested in booking a service, please just email me. Don't DM me.
All right. We will include Sam's. You've heard it from
the mouth. I don't check them.
Don't DM her. Don't slide into her DM. Email her.
Unless you want to do a shoot, then that's
it. All right. Thank you again. And
thanks for having me.
You're very welcome. It's great. Thank you so much for listening in. You can find us online at anthonyvasquezworkshops.com, as well as on social, on Instagram, Facebook, and on YouTube at Anthony Vasquez Workshops. We look forward to seeing you there.